your Bibles and find, if you would, the book of Joshua. Joshua is in the Old Testament, the sixth book of the Bible. Joshua chapter 3 will be our text tonight. Joshua chapter 3, we'll look at the entire chapter. This morning, we were in the book of Matthew, and we were looking at the Syrophoenician woman, or the Canaanite woman, and we saw how this woman was a woman of great faith. The Lord Jesus knew that this woman possessed great faith, and he was going to use her as an illustration for the nation of Israel. The way that he used her for an illustration to the nation of Israel was that he tested, or he tried, her faith. He did an experiment to prove or evidence what real faith looked like. And we looked at how, and we talked about how that God will do that in our life. Faith that is going to be trusted must be faith that is tested. True faith is not afraid to be tested. And so you mark it down from 1 Peter chapter 1 that God is going to try your faith. He's going to do that so that it may be found under the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So, Pastor, I don't like my faith tested. Well, I understand that when the faith gets tested, it gets measured. But the greatest comfort or the greatest life vest for you when your faith is tested is the truth of God's word. And so this lady, when her faith was being tested and it got down to the nitty gritty, her final submission was, truth, Lord, truth. But then she responded, not and almost had a dialogue or a confrontation a little bit with the Lord, not in a nasty way. And it wasn't her opinion or her desire or her will. It was a response back with more truth. Even the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And so when faith is being tested, the best place you can find yourself is on the truth of the word of God. And no matter what circumstance shows up, no matter what people show up, no matter what things show up, or no matter what kind of anxiety that you experience in those moments, you do not want to walk away from the truth. And so I thought I would come back tonight, still being on the subject of faith, and preach to a message that would kind of go hand in hand this morning when, about the king's experience when God tests your faith. But tonight I want to preach to you about when God is waiting for your faith. When God is waiting for your faith. I'm not talking to you about your saving faith, although he's waiting for you to be saved. He wants you to be saved. But I'm talking about a living faith. I'm talking about a faith that enjoys the victory of Christ, that appropriates the grace of God. When God is waiting for you to step out by faith, one of the most beautiful pictures of stepping out by faith is found in Joshua chapter number 3. And I understand that this is the Old Testament, but when you understand the symbolism of what happens in chapter number 3, you will find that it is very fitting for the day in which you and I live in. And so Joshua is a book about victory. Look, if you would, at verse number 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they being the nation of Israel, removed from Shittim, and they came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. Now, we know that they're getting ready as a nation to pass over the river Jordan. How many years has it been that they've been waiting to pass over? 40 years. Finally going to happen. It came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. They commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. There were millions of people getting ready to cross this river, and he wanted them to be able to see the Ark of the Covenant. Why did they need to see it as it was leading them? For ye have not passed this way heretofore. Let me stop right there. I have that underlined in my Bible. Just because you haven't gone a certain way before doesn't mean that that's not the way God wants you to go. Okay? Sometimes we're so afraid of something new. We're so afraid of a different direction. We're so afraid of a path that we're unfamiliar with or a path that we don't understand. But my friend, let me tell you something. If that's the path that God calls you to go, you better go that path. And so God has got the nation of Israel. They've not gone this way heretofore. And so he wants them to keep their eyes on the Ark of the Covenant. That way they know which direction to go. Verse number 5. Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant, pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still. What's that word, class? In Jordan. I've got that phrase underlined. I would like you to underline that phrase. It's going to be important in a moment. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither, hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will, without fail, drive out from you all of those people. Verse number 11. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now, therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, by the way, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall, finish that phrase, stand upon a heap. You should underline that phrase as well. That's going to connect with verse number 8. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bear the Ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. Now that phrase is in parentheses. But just because that phrase is in parentheses does not mean that phrase is not important. It is vital to the understanding of this passage. Keep going. Once they dipped their foot in there, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap, just like it was promised, very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zeratin, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priest that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood how? Firm. Boy, that's an important word in our text. They stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. All right, look this way. Two times the nation of Israel crossed two waterways. Which was the first time they crossed the waterway? Red Sea. Second time they crossed the waterway was the river Jordan. Both of these water crossings have tremendous spiritual meaning. And if you don't get them right, you're messed up a little bit in on how you behave before the Lord. Some people want to teach that this crossing of Jordan is symbolic of passing through death, kind of like a salvation experience, but that is not true. When the nation of Israel passed over the Red Sea, that is a picture of the redemption of mankind. See, that's a picture of them coming out of Egypt, and they came out of Egypt through the what? What was all over the doorpost? Through the blood. So when they came out of Egypt, they were a people redeemed out of bondage. They were redeemed out of that bondage by a highway of blood. And when they crossed over the Red Sea and stood on that ground, and all that bondage was behind them, and Pharaoh is drowned in the sea along with his armies there, that is a wonderful picture as you dissect that and you go back of God's people, even today, as salvation, as being redeemed out of bondage and being freed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, they were supposed to come out of Egypt and go where immediately? To the promised land. Now, your theology is going to be awfully screwed up, and your emotions are going to be so disappointed if you think that the promised land is heaven. In the Bible, the promised land is not heaven. Okay? So they were to come out of Egypt, they were to cross the Red Sea, and they were immediately to go in to the promised land, or to the land of Canaan. Instead, when they got across the Red Sea and they spied over into the land of Canaan, they sent those spies back, and they came back with that report that there's giants and there's difficulty. And so they resigned themselves not to go into the promised land. Therefore, they stayed in the what? In the wilderness. Was it God's plan for them to be in the wilderness? No. No. Did they suffer in the wilderness? Absolutely. Absolutely. They died in that wilderness. The people we're reading about is a generation that did not come out except for Joshua and Caleb. Don't you remember in the book of Numbers? They died, man, because of their unbelief. And so they could not go into the promised land. The crossing of the Jordan River and them going into the promised land has as an application for us not coming out of the bondage into a freedom there, but it has the application of us going into the spirit-filled life or going into our inheritance. Has God an inheritance for you today? Okay? So when you got saved, you got brought into the family of God, there is a spiritual inheritance available for you. So the land of Canaan was the inheritance to the nation of Israel. God gave it to them. God also not only gave it to them, he was going to secure it for them. Matter of fact, they were not going to have to fight the battles per se. God was going to go in there, and God was going to deliver those nations into them, and God was going to provide that for them, and God was going to care for them. All they had to do was go. Just go. But when they looked at the land and they saw the difficulty there, they said, we're not going to go. Now, the sad part about that is, even today, I find many Christians living in the wilderness. And it's not a place for God's people. The wilderness is dry. It's dusty. It's barren. It's basically a miserable place to live and exist. And all there might be water and there might be manna, but I would rather eat grapes and honey than manna and drink water. Amen? All right. So as the nation of Israel comes out of Egypt, picture of their bondage, coming out of the bondage of sin. When they cross over Jordan 40 years later, they're receiving their inheritance. Now, inside the promised land, how was victory appropriated? Well, let me help you. Hebrews chapter 11. No, don't have to turn there. You should have it memorized. Hebrews chapter 11, all of those verses begin describing those actions with two words, by faith. So in the promised land, they didn't need their sword. In the promised land, they didn't need their own tuition, their own. In the promised land, all they needed to do was go by faith and trust the Lord. And God would lead them from city to city and to city. And if you would look at verse number 10, Joshua said that the promise from the living God was that he will without fail drive out from before you all of those people. So victory was assured. And the way that victory was to be assured, and all they had to do to appropriate that victory was to go forward by faith. Trust the Lord. So 40 years later, we find the nation of Israel sitting on the brink of this river, and they're getting ready to cross over into the promised land. And God's been waiting on them, to be truthful with you. He was waiting on a generation of unbelief to pass so that he would have a generation of people that would trust him to go over. And so in verses 1 to 9, actually verses 1 to 10, there's the word of God that comes and the direction of God that comes and tells them what to do. And what he tells them to do is, I want you to get the Ark of the Covenant. And I want you to get the priest. And I want them to bring that Ark of the Covenant up. I want you to stay back. And I want those priests to get that Ark of that Covenant. And I want them to go down to that river. And I want them, in verse number 8, to get in Jordan. Get in that river. And he said, when you get in that river, according to verse number 13, that as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. So the promise is, as soon as your feet get in the water, what's going to happen? Water's going to stand up. Joshua is also the man that said, there hath not failed one word of all that God has promised. All right, does God have promises for his people today? Yes or no? Yeah. And he still keeps his promise. But the way that God's promises are appropriated in our lives is by faith. And so here is God giving clear direction, clear in his word, clear motivation, a clear promise as to what is going to happen. And now all they've got to do is they've got to go forward. So in verse number 14, it says they came to pass. People removed from their tents, and they came to Jordan. The priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as they bear the Ark, they were come unto Jordan. And the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. Now listen, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. So they're all gung-ho. They've got the promise of God. They've got the direction of God. They've got the program of God. God has already put himself on line that he's going to take care of those nations. And now God is waiting for them to go. And the priests get the Ark of the Covenant. And they know they're commanded to be in the water. But when they get down to that river, that thing's kind of flowing pretty fast. It's a little bit dangerous. It's a lot dangerous. If you've ever been by a flowing river, you understand that those are dangerous places to be. You would think, if God was going to let them cross over, that God would have kind of chosen when the waters weren't high. God, why in the world are you sending them at harvest time? Why don't you send them when the rains and when all of that water is not flowing, when it will be easier? Okay, help me this. We learned this morning that God will always do what to our faith? Test our faith. How was victory going to be appropriated over there? By? And so, if victory is going to be appropriated by faith, then it's going to be begun by faith. And so when they came down to that water, and that water was rushing, God's word is still God's word. No matter what the circumstances are, no matter what our thought process is, No matter what we think about how this plan ought to be shifted, God still had a program, he still had a plan, and he still had a command. And so God is waiting on them to look at verse number 8. Ye shall stand still on the banks of Jordan. Is that what your Bible says? Better say no. Look at verse 8. Last words of it. Ye shall stand still where? In Jordan. In Jordan. Get in the water. Well, man, can't we just kind of stand here and wait for the water to calm down? No. Get in the water. Now, if you remember right, the priests are carrying the what? The ark. Let's talk about the ark. The Ark of the Covenant symbolized who, class? It symbolized the presence of God. It symbolizes the person of Christ. And so, in the Old Testament economy, the presence of God was not indwelling in man. The presence of God dwelt in that Ark of that covenant. And so he said, now, priest, you carry the Ark inside the water. And when that Ark gets inside the water and your feet get in there, that thing's going to make, it's going to stand up on a heap. Where is the presence of God now? In us. So, a lot of times, a lot of people, Christian people, they never experience the victory and the joy and the thrill of the promised land or the spirit-filled life or the inheritance that God has for them because they never step into the water. God has got this whole life planned for you. And he just needs you to take a step of faith. And the first step is always the hardest step, but it's the most important step. It's the first one. And we think, well, I'll just kind of stand over here and God, you work out all the situation. No, 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 no. God doesn't work the situations out normally from the outside. He works them out in the middle of them. In the same way the priest brought the presence and power of God into that water, you and I bring the presence and power of God into those circumstances when we get in them. But we're afraid to get in the water. We're afraid to take that first step. We kind of look and see the difficulties of life and how that they're going by, and we see that it's dangerous. And the Bible says that as soon as they came in, and as soon as that they touched the water, that the waters stood up. Now watch this, verse number 17. They get into that water and they bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and the priests stood how? Firm. Firm. There's no greater firm foothold than faith. Faith is a great firm foothold. When they looked at the water and their physical eyes, there's no firmness there. It's moving. It's overflowed its banks. It's dangerous. They step into the water by faith and they find that they're on firm ground. By the way, the ground was firm before they ever stepped on it. See, here's where people mess up so bad. They don't understand. And if I had a Louisville slugger, I would beat it into their head. Once God's word gives a promise, that's the truth. See, now, priest, when you go in, that water's going to stand up. That's all they needed. That was the promise of God. So no matter if that water would have been low, shallow, high, or whatever, when they stepped on into that water on the promise of God, they're stepping on firm ground. Because that's what God said. Most people think that faith is you kind of living on a wishy-washy up and down. You never know where your next meal is going to come from. You don't know how you're going to pay your light bill. You don't know if you're going to ever get married. You don't know if you're ever going to have this. And so everything is always shaky. Listen, there's no shaky ground with God. He's firm. He's firm. And when he gives you the word, it's firm footing, man. Anchor myself right there on the firm footing of the word of God. And once I get into that situation, man, faith appropriates the power of God. And I have seen God, off of the very first step of faith, take the waters of our lives and build them up and make highways for us to travel in through safety. But most of God's people, we never take the first step. And I have found this. God won't push you. God's not like your best friend that'll push you in the pool when you're not paying attention. He's not going to shove you. He's going to wait on you. Well, God, I'm waiting for the water to go down. Why? Because I'm afraid. Well, I created the water. Yeah? Well, how do I know if the ground's going to hold me? Well, the ground's not going to hold you. I'm going to hold you. What are you waiting on? I don't know. Can I trust it? I've never failed anybody my whole existence. Don't look at that stinking water and see if you can trust it. Look at me. Look at me. I can do it. I had this illustrated in my life. You know, I don't know if I'm like you or you're like me or we both got problems. But it seems like I always develop these plans. And I've got these paths and these plans that are supposed to lead me to some kind of green grass utopia. Like, man, if I do this, this, and this, I'm going to be financially set and I can do this. Or if I do this, this is how this is going to work out and I'm going to absolutely make it. I see this path. I see a path to how this is going to happen. I see it. And so I get all excited and I have these plans and I start going down these paths. And it's like I get down these paths and I can almost see what I want. And everything goes wrong. And so everything I've got saved goes out the door. Everything I've got planned gets changed. And it's almost like God has taught me over the past couple of months, Tom, stop looking for dry ground and start watching me. You don't need those circumstances you need to keep your eye on me. Tom, you're standing there and you're waiting for these to unfold so you can have this. Stop waiting for that. Do what I want you to do. Step out. I got you. Step out again. I got you. And I have found that every time I step out, according to the word of God, as he has led me, he puts my foot on firm ground. How about you? So is God waiting on you tonight? Well, as soon as I get enough money, we're going to go to ministry. Or as soon as I get this plan all here, we're going to go here. Or as soon as this happens, I'm going to make this change. Or as soon as... No. Well, when things calm down, then we're going to do something. Let me tell you something. Whew, I have found things never calm down. Never calm down. One final thought. The person who doesn't step out by faith never gets the inheritance that God promised them. And you live in the wilderness unfulfilled. Unfulfilled. There is no reason for God's child to live a life unfulfilled when we have the all-sufficient Savior. So what's, is he waiting on you? Come on, step. Change it. God. Not going to change it. Step out. Well, God, can we do that? Not going to do it different. Step out. How do I know I'm going to make it? You're going to make it. How do I know? You got me. I told you would make it. Go. What are you? I can just see God. It's been 10 years. You going to step out? You going to do it? You used to be young. You used to be handsome. You used to have hair. You going to step out? You think they were amazed when they stepped out? Oh, yeah. Well, they saw the power of God, and that ground went dry, and those people went over there. I think they were glad they took that initial step into the water. Amen? Shall we pray?